That woman was totally demon-possessed. Now let me say this to you, because this is exactly what takes place after the rapture of the church. You will find out demon possession is everywhere in America today. It is counterfeited by preachers that disguise themselves as preachers of righteousness. I mean, they'll use the Bible, a little bit of it, but there's portions that they won't use. You have women preachers. There are no women preachers. And one of the qualifications are given in Timothy by Paul to him, you'll find out if a bishop, a man desire to be a bishop, he desireth a good thing. A man and he. It doesn't say if she desires or desires a good thing, or a bishop, a good thing. He. So every woman preacher that tells you that God called me, she's a liar out of hell and doing exactly what Satan wants her to do to deceive you, because first of all, she just lied to you. And now you're supposed to think that you're opposing God if you don't accept her to be a preacher, but if you know God's word, you're a liar, lady. There are no women preachers. Now, you used to have preachers that would stand up and teach the word of God so people wouldn't be deceived, but you've got to hunt all over anymore to find them. They're not there anymore because they want to build a great church. They don't want to offend a woman and so forth. Well, I would say the woman's offending God, isn't she? Trying to want a position that God never gave her and then lie to you so you'll accept her and go against God also. So she wants to drag you down to the pit too to disobey God by setting under her and then lying to you that God called her. He never called her under any circumstances. She's a liar out of hell. She's transformed into an angel of light with all of the so sweet, so nice, so one thing or another. But she's a liar. And she's a worker for Satan and tries to get anybody that will believe her, well, God called me. Man, you can almost see Satan in your face. You're a liar, lady. You say, how many women preachers do we have now? We got them all over the place, haven't we? Absolutely. Sure. You know, let me ask you this. Where are the preachers? Where are the preachers that will teach people what the Bible says, you see. Now, our time's gone. I'm going to take a second. I'm going to stop right here, and we'll get right on this next week here on the five are fallen. One is yet to come. He is the seventh, but he's of the eighth. We'll get on with that. But I want you to look at one thing, if you will. Let's go back here to Timothy, and I just want to read this so that you'll know where to go next time a woman ever tells you that. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, will you? Or chapter 3. I just want to read this in closing to show you the lies of some of these super-duper ungodly women that deceive just about anybody they can to get you to follow them. All right? Here we go. Just real fast. This is a true saying. If a man, I think it says man, it doesn't say woman. Does your Bible say woman? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he. Is that he or she? I think that's he. Are you over in 1 Timothy here, chapter 3? Huh? Have you got it? Or are you still in shock? Are you in total shock? Now you got to remember this. I didn't write this. The Holy Spirit wrote it. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now let's go on down. A bishop then must be blameless. He's got to be a husband of one wife. Oh my goodness, lady. How in the world are you going to do that? You're going to be a transgender or something? I don't know what you're going to do. Everything's so mixed up anymore. Who knows what's going to do what here? Women are changing into men. Men changing into women. They won't accept how God created them and stand upon 2 feet and give God and then say it's God's fault. And if you're a homosexual or a lesbian, that's God's fault. He created you that way. Oh my goodness gracious. Satan is a, in John 8:44, a murderer and a liar. Is he not? Well, that's what the Bible says. Okay. It's going down. You've got to be a husband of one wife. You got to be good, so forth. Not given to wine. That excludes 99% of every Lutheran preacher and every Catholic priest. They all drink. All of them drink. Good. You want your kids going there? If the preacher drinks, then it's all right for your child to drink. He just shouldn't drink too much. You never got a drunk until he took that first drink. If you don't take the first drink, you don't get drunk. It's the same way with killing your babies. If you don't have sex until after you're married, you don't have anything to worry about. You got a husband and you got a wife that's going to raise that child, right? Now maybe some of us have slipped up. Well, that's past. We're not living in the past, right? Okay. So I'm not attacking anybody. I don't know anything about anybody. So I'm not walking where angels fear to tread. I'm walking out of stupidity. All right. Here we go. Let's go down. That's the point I just want to make. Okay. You got to be married and then even to be a deacon. Notice in verse 8, likewise the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, and not greedy of filthy lucre of money, and so forth. Now, let's see here. I'm hunting where? What verse is this? Where she? 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Thank you. That's verse 12. I was going to say that. You beat me to it. Okay. Verse 12. Thank you for the help. I appreciate that. And but also the deacons. So, is she supposed to be a deacon? Well, the deacon is supposed to be the husband of one wife. Well, how can a deacon be a woman? She's meant to be a woman. Can deacons and women do other things in the church? Absolutely. She sure can. Can a woman be a choir leader? Yes. Can a woman be a treasurer? Yes, she can. Can a woman teach a Sunday school class? Thank God for her. We need them. Absolutely. She sure can. Can a man be a janitor? Yeah. Can a woman be a janitor to help too? Can a woman pray in church? Absolutely. They take this to the extreme that a woman can't even pray in church, but she can be a pastor. Give me a break. It almost makes you sick, doesn't it? You get these self-righteous Baptists and, oh my goodness, we can't have a woman pray. I thank God for the women who will pray for us. I thank God for the women that will pray for other people. Thank you, ladies, because I'll tell you what, if anybody's got any power with God, it's a woman. I don't know if she puts her foot down or what she does, but I'll tell you, when she prays, things happen. Amen? She does, so you remember that. See? Okay, I'm just kidding you. Well, our time's gone. I went over a little bit here, so let's just stop right here. We'll pick this up next week. And it'll be very interesting to you as we go on here. You'll begin to understand this. Bring your one here, if you will. Bring this one next week with you so we can use that. Okay. Now, in closing, because we always do this, so it might be those that get the tapes and so forth and don't know this. The billfold sin, I'm the sinner. Go through this real simple. God says, I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Max Younts, I loved you. I don't care what you've done. I want you to be my child. I want you to accept my payment for your sin because I have paid for the sins of everybody in the world. Don't go to hell and pay for your own sin. This hand represents Christ, no sin. For God has made him to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here, I'll take your sin, Max, pay for it. Mark it paid completely. You'll never go to hell for your sin. Now, if you run a red light out here, you're on your own, buddy. If you go out here and screw up somewhere or there, or you're speeding down the road and you get a $100 fine for going 10 miles over the speed limit, that's your fault, Max, but you won't go to hell for it. Nothing you can do to go to hell. I've paid it all, past, present, future. So, I'll give you my righteousness. Put to the account of Max Younts. Sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ over my name, and give me that. So I pass from death unto life. And therefore, God said, I'm going to put it in the Bible so churches can't get it all screwed up. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Thank the Lord that you have that assurance. And if you don't, when we bow in a word of prayer, just tell the Lord this: Dear Lord, I don't have to know the whole Bible. Only thing I have to know is, number one, I don't want to go to hell and pay for my sin. And if you did it for me, then I believe it, and I thank you for the promise that I will never perish, but have everlasting life. I am so grateful, dear Lord, that you love me, because I know I'm not perfect and nobody else is. But I'm so glad I know I'm going to heaven, and I thank you for the promise, thank you for paying for my sin, and thank you for putting it in the Bible so I can believe it. This is found in prayer. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you and we thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for paying for our sins. Thank you for this is a peace that nobody in the world can give except Jesus Christ, because nobody in the world ever died on that cross to pay for my sins. So if Christ did it, I know it's true. I know it's going to stand. And I know when he promised I'd never perish, to have eternal life, that I have the greatest peace, because the Holy Spirit, my spirit, bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Thank you, and bless each one here in Jesus' precious name. Amen.